I bring you Christian greetings this morning. In the name of Jesus, the one that we're here because of. If it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would even be here this morning. There would be no interest in serving God. Because Jesus is the reason that we are here to serve God. The board back here says it very well. The light of the world came in a manger, hung on a cross. You know, the light of the world. That's actually my subject this morning, is light. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Now, I've been impressed with light and a lot of different things that light does for us. That's a little cloudy, drizzly outside, but there's a lot of windows here, so if we would actually go flip the main breaker, it wouldn't get that dark in here. But there would be a difference. Now, light and darkness are exact opposites. Where there is darkness and light makes its presence, the darkness has no option. It's got to leave. Light is stronger than darkness. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now there was a mention of light here. It's called a star. And these men noticed something different. They noticed something different that they were willing to follow and see what it was about. And it was a light in the form of a star. Now, I'd like to begin by telling you just a little short story about a shoemaker. Now, this shoemaker, he had light within his life. He knew what Jesus was. He knew what it was to be born again. And the light of the world, Jesus, was a part of his life. And he was not ashamed of it either. And as people came to him to get shoes repaired or to get shoes made, he would tell them about Jesus. He would tell them what he had done for him and about the difference he made in his life. He was excited about serving the Lord. And one day, one of his friends kind of took him aside and he said, all this talk about Jesus is actually hurting your business. There's people that don't want to know about Jesus, and they're not going to come back because of what you talk to them about when they come. Now what should this shoemaker do? He said, My business? My business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only make shoes to make expenses. I'm only making shoes to pay my bills. The light of the world truly had made a difference in his life. And he was willing to disregard the advice of a bad friend that told him that he's ruining his business. Now Matthew 5 verse 15 says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I doubt if anyone here this morning is actually in the business of repairing or making shoes. But what about all of you that work at a store? What about all of you that have co-workers? What about all of you that go to town during the week? Are you willing to be a cobbler that knows what the light of the world is about? Are you willing to be a cobbler that cares about the people around you and their need for Jesus? We are called to have the light within us and then to give it out to others. Just as a lighthouse uses its strong beam to guide some ship safely to shore, so we are to be lights to those around us, warning others of danger of living a life that isn't according to the Bible. The danger of living a life without Jesus in their heart. The Bible puts a great emphasis on light. We don't get very far in Genesis. We get to verse 3. And already God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The third verse in the Bible talks about light. Now, you're studying in Revelation. If you get about two chapters further, you will find that there's another light talked about that John sees in the new heaven. He says there's no need for the sun, there's no need for the moon, because the glory of God and of the Lamb are the light. The New Testament talks about Jesus being the light. Jesus' own words, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So if you follow the way of Jesus, you will not walk in darkness, because Jesus is light. And like I said earlier, darkness does not have power over light. Light has the power over darkness. John 9:4-5 would say, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Light in the life of a Christian. We are called to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's in 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Children of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Cast off works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Walk as children of light. Those are all portions of verses in the New Testament that talk about light. So why is light so important in a Christian life? Because we are constantly in a battle against darkness. That's why light is important in your life this morning. There is no neutral ground. You are either serving light, the Lord, or you're serving darkness, the devil. The only way to get victory over darkness is to receive the light of Jesus into your life. So as we think of a Christmas time, you know, in the weeks leading up to today, there were lots of people that put out lights. Christmas is a time to think about light, because that was when God looked down on heaven, from heaven, looked down on the earth. And he said, "My children down here are in trouble. They need help." And the time was right. He sent his son. Now imagine that. You have one son, and he's in safety in heaven with you. Nothing can harm him there. But because of his love, he's willing to let his son go. Go where? Go down to sin. Go down to darkness. And live among people who needed a Savior. That's not possible without love. It was the love of God that made him willing to do that. Jesus was willing to say, "I'll take off my robe of righteousness. I'll leave it here and I'll go become sin so you and I can be saved." Deliverance from darkness. We won't turn to it, but if you would look in Luke, you would find that the shepherds were out there on the hillsides, and I imagine they might have had a small fire going there. It was dark all around them. Suddenly there was light, much greater than their little fire. It was the glory of the Lord that shone round about them to notify them that light has come to this world of darkness. Light is now here. The star that the wise men followed led them to the manger where light was. Yes, he was still a baby, but there was light, there was hope. God's plan of love was there. So you and I this morning, we are called to shine as that light, as the star that led the wise men. We are called to be a beacon to those around us, even to ones that seem to enjoy living in sin, even to a society that says they would rather have perversion than they would a personal Savior, even when it seems that godliness is liked better than God. We need to remember we must never, never lose our brightness of the Son of God within our life. The love of God, the peace of Jesus should be coming out from your life. If we would take the word light itself and take one word for each letter, starting with L, love. I already gave the example of the love of God. How about love in your life now? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gave that as a commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. next to loving the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the second commandment after that, Jesus says, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we could talk about who our neighbor is, but you can extend that as far as you want to. You are to love anyone that needs help. And how many people can you think of that you saw in the last week that needed Jesus as their Savior? We could think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Marvelous example of love. He wouldn't have had to stop and help this poor guy laying in the ditch, half dead. But he did because of love. After L is the letter I. I is for imitate. Imitate Christ. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now, we know what it means to imitate. That means to do as or duplicate, to follow. So if we claim to have the love of Jesus in our heart, then we need to do what Jesus did. We need to follow his examples. You, this morning, are the representative for Christ. You are here to represent Jesus. Jesus did a lot of good while he walked on this earth. We are to be doing good to those around us as well. You may be the only testimony of Jesus that some lost person will ever see. If they can't see Christ shining out of your life, how will they know that there's light there? Without Christ, there's no salvation. Without salvation, there is no eternity in heaven. There is eternity, but not in heaven without salvation. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Follow Christ. Imitate him in your life. The letter G. Get to know others. In order to have friends, you should be a friend. You should be friendly to those around you. The world is looking for people that have time for them. There's a lot of hurts around you. People want you to reach out. They want you to be their friend. But the hurts keep them from asking. So make the first move. Get to know others around you. Proverbs 18 says in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We must be friendly if we want our light to be visible to the unsaved. If you think of investing, if you put money into a stock market, you want it to grow. If you put it in a savings account, nowadays it barely grows, but at least it's not depleting. Invest in other people. Yeah, but that's hard. I don't want to. It brings me out of my comfort zone. the time that you have invested in others. The letter H, hospitality. Now, in Bible times, hospitality was probably a lot more necessary than it is for us today. Strangers were to be treated as guests, someone you never knew before. If they showed up at your house, you were supposed to invite them in, treat them as a guest. And you, as owner of your home, were responsible for their protection. You were responsible to feed them and protect them. Now, hospitality could also be described with three words: the love of strangers. If you're going to be hospitable to people that come to your church, then you need to get to know them, be acquainted with them. Maybe you need to take them home. You need to feed them, see what their needs are. Oftentimes, their spiritual needs are harder to deal with than their physical needs. Make them feel warm with a warm welcome. As I think of being hospitable, I think our society that we have kind of become comfortable with has reached into our Anabaptist circles, and it affects us. Now, we enjoy having people come to us. That's not a problem. But it's harder to ask someone if I can come to their house. It's because we can get about everything we need. Now, it would be easier to just go get a motel rather than bothering someone. And just a few weeks ago, we were in Western Missouri for a wedding. And we ended up staying at the house of William and Marilyn Yoder. Now, I knew the name, and that was about it. But I was blessed by their hospitality. There was no doubt whether they loved entertaining strangers. They made us feel right at home. And even after the wedding reception, when we come back that afternoon, they were there before we were there, and he comes to the door and, you know, just come in again. We're so glad you came back. They went way beyond supplying the little needs that we would have had. Very gracious hosts. I'm going to read a few verses out of Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn to that. Romans chapter 12, we'll start at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. All the verses leading up to ending with given to hospitality. You know, if we could live all of those verses out in our shoe leather walk of life, hospitality would be so easy. Starts with love. And then preferring another one over ourselves. Fervent in spirit. Be excited about serving the Lord. First Peter 4:9 would tell us to use hospitality one to another without grudging. I'm not at all trying to tell you as a congregation here that you're short on that. I don't have that at all in mind. But being a person that enjoys having people there, let's look at Hebrews 13. Verses 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Again, it starts with love, and then it tells us to entertain people, to remember those who are in bonds. Remember those who are suffering. Isaiah 58:7 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? There's many verses in the Bible that would encourage us to practice hospitality the best we can, because we should be a grateful people for what God has done for us. And the last letter is the letter T. Talk about Jesus. Imagine what your life would be today if someone, if no one, would have told you about Jesus. What if you would have been born out on the streets, not in a Christian home, and no one would have ever told you about Jesus? That, my friends, is your and I. It's mine and your responsibility to tell others about Jesus. That's a privilege that we have, and it's also a responsibility to tell others about Jesus. We should be ready to give them our story of what Jesus did for me, whether it was a week ago or yesterday, or, you know, surely Jesus has done something in your life recently that you should be excited about. Tell others about it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 14 and through 17. 1 Peter 3, verse 14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within you. That simply tells me that we need to be ready to tell others about Jesus, because Jesus is the only hope within my life. Now, Jesus had to show his disciples how to fish for men. Now, Jesus isn't here anymore to show your children how to fish for men. You as parents should be a living example by sharing Jesus with those you meet, so that they can learn how to share Jesus with others. Luke 12, verse 8, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." Verse 9, "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." There's no need to be ashamed of Jesus. Because even people that would ridicule Jesus are not going to make it to heaven without him. Let's turn to Matthew 5. I know I read two of those verses earlier. Matthew 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying..." Now drop down to verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We know those verses well. We probably memorized them ever since we were 8 years old. And we know that it would be stupid to light a candle and then cover it up with a bushel basket, because it's not going to give any visible light. Let's turn to Luke, see if we can learn some more about this. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Verse 16 through 18. "No man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now let's look at Luke verse or chapter 11 yet. Luke 11 at verse 33. "No man, when he lighteth a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." All these verses that I read, do you think that you and I have any responsibility for the light that's visible from our heart in our life this morning? Now, we know that Jesus is the light. We can't perfect on that light. It is perfect. The light of Jesus is perfect. So we don't need to be worried about making the light brighter, because the light is as good. It is perfect. You can't improve on it. So, if you receive the light, Jesus, into your lamp, your heart, yourself, and then you do nothing about it, are you hiding Jesus in this secret place? Like was mentioned here, putting it in a secret place. You just receive salvation and then you quit. So now you're just hiding Jesus in your heart. Now look at verse 35 again. "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness." And I told you earlier that light and darkness don't mix. I still believe that. But this verse implies to me that there can be varying degrees of darkness. There can be varying degrees of light. Not in Jesus himself, but in what is visible to those around you. Not a clear black or white, a gray area. So may I suggest this morning that Jesus is perfect. There is no darkness in Jesus. But this varying degree of light and darkness is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. What is coming out of my life this morning? What's coming out of your life this morning? Earlier, I mentioned a little bit about a lighthouse and it beaming its light. Now, the early lighthouses would have been very, very simple. Probably just a fire is probably where it first started. And then as things progressed, they probably would have had lamps burning maybe kerosene. But now we have electricity. And making a concentrated light is suddenly very easy. Now let's just assume that this electric light is Jesus. And it's as bright as it's ever going to get. You can't make it brighter. But that light out of that lighthouse still needs some help. You're going to need some reflectors. You're going to need some lenses to concentrate the light into what you want it to do. You can't just have a big bulb here or a small bulb producing great light and it just goes all over the place. You need to be focused. You need to focus that beam on what you want it to point at. So again, you and I are responsible for the reflectors. We're responsible for the lenses. I'm going to assume that the lenses need some maintenance because they're going to get dirty. There might be some cobwebs across the outside. And as that bright light shines through the cobwebs, it's going to distort where the light's supposed to go. Remember, the light is perfect. We can't improve on that, but we need to do the maintenance. We're responsible for the maintenance. So if the light coming out of your life this morning isn't perfect, it's not Jesus' fault. Because the light within is perfect. But we need to work on the maintenance. We need to work constantly on staying focused so our light is in the right direction. So it's not a gray area. But it's clear to those around us where we're headed, who we're serving, what we're following. Go and follow this L-I-G-H-T. Follow this light. Follow it so closely that the radiance will reflect off of you and it will shine to those around you. It will be a beacon of light that others will want to follow. Let's kneel and pray.